Good morning, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today we're continuing our journey through the narrative of the Bible found in the book, The Story. And we're coming to a new chapter in the life of God's people in 1 Samuel chapters 1 through 15, the text that's covered in this week's chapter of The Story. We're moving from what is known as the time of the judges, where the judges were the leaders over God's people, to the time of the kings. The people have settled into the promised land, and they've experienced the turmoil and downward spiral that came with disobedience and idolatry. When during the time of the judges, they lived, rather than following God's covenant, Rather than being his holy and chosen people, a light and blessing to the nations, they became like the people around them. They forsook God. They worshiped idols and false gods. They lived their own ways and they rejected God's lordship over them. Though God had promised and or had faithfully brought them out of Egypt and into the land that he had promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. God continued to make good on his covenant with his people, and they continued to be unfaithful. Eventually, Samuel, a prophet, also becomes the judge of Israel. And he was a faithful judge, a faithful ruler. And he led with justice and righteousness, with obedience to God. But his sons strayed from the path. They were dishonest. They took bribes, perverted justice, and sought selfish gain rather than justice, righteousness, and holiness for God's people. So much so that eventually the elders of Israel come to Samuel with a request that both seems sensible, but also misses the mark in some very important and rather tragic ways. They say to Samuel, "Look, it's been great, but you're getting old. Your sons aren't like you. They don't follow in your ways. And so give us a king to lead us, such as all the nations have." Did you hear it? Did you hear what's wrong with the request there? A king just like all the nations have. They ask for a leader that will help them be more like the people around them. The problem with that is that God has explicitly called his people not to be like the nations. He's called them and chosen them, set them apart as his holy people so that they would not be like the nations, that they would not worship the way they worshiped or worship their gods, that they would not live the way that the nations lived. They were called to be different, blessed by God, and called by his gracious promise to be a blessing to those around them. And yet they wanted to conform to the ways of the nations rather than the way of God. So God says to Samuel, "Listen to all the people are saying to you. It's not you they've rejected, but they've rejected me as their king. As they've done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt, so they are doing to you now." And then Samuel goes to them and he says, "This is what it's going to be like to have a king. Are you sure the grass is greener?" And again, the elders say, in verse 20, "Give us a king. This is going to be a king who is going to go before us. This will be a king who will fight our battles." But you see, Deuteronomy 31:8, "The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you." Deuteronomy 3:22, "It is the Lord your God who will fight for you." Israel is looking for an earthly king to do for them the exact things that God, their true king, has already promised and proved he would do for them. Israel believes the lie and falls into the trap, into the temptation that is just as real for us today as it was for them. They bought into the lie that says that the thing that we should desire in this life is to blend in with the world around us. See, there's an allure in this life to fit in, to blend into the crowd. It's easier to blend into the crowd than it is to stand out in one, right? This picture up here is a picture, let's see, there it is. It's a picture of a man named August Landmesser from Germany in 1936. And you might be thinking to yourself, Pastor Joe, that is in fact a picture of lots of people from Germany in 1936. And you would be right, but I think in a very real way, this is a picture of one person. If we go to the next slide. August Landmesser, the one in the crowd who was willing to stand up, who didn't salute. The Catholic writer G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "A dead thing can go with a stream, but only a living thing can go against it." Now, I've often said that I like to preach one-point sermons. One big idea that I hope that you would take away from what I preach each week. And to be painfully obvious and clear today, here's the point. If we as God's people are just like the world around us, we will not be a blessing to the world around us. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says that we are the salt of the earth, that we are the light of the world, a city on a hill, a lamp that gives light to the whole room, and that we should let our good deeds shine before others. Jesus says that those who follow him, that those who are saved by his grace and sealed for eternity are meant to live lives that stand out from the world around them, the world that they have been saved from and the world that is perishing. Now, I often joke, and I will ask you at the soundboard, Andrew and Paul, if you could turn off the video and the recording for a minute because I do not want this on the record. I often joke that Jesus would be a bad Lutheran. He talks too much about what we do. He talks too much about how we live and our good deeds and the importance of our obedience to God. Now, doesn't Jesus know that we're saved by his grace? You know, Christians in the Lutheran tradition often wrestle with the idea of what place our works and our deeds, the way we live our lives, have in the life of faith. Because we know, and rightly so, that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, forgiven and set free from the power of sin, death, and the devil, and given new life, abundant life, and eternal life through Christ Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, and by faith in him, not by what we do, not by our works. And yet, whenever we start talking about what it means to be obedient to the will of God, what it means to obey the commands of Jesus, we often have a hard time thinking about them in any other way rather than as being in relationship to our salvation. You know, maybe you've thought before, or you read a command of Christ. Maybe it's one of those real difficult ones. Love your enemies. Forgive as he is forgiven. And you think, good thing I don't need to do that to be saved. Jesus helps us see these things more clearly. He helps us see them in their right place. Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You know, sometimes I've heard people say, or I've heard people talk, you know, and say, our good deeds are proof that we are saved. I don't like that all that much. Because when I look at my good deeds, and I think, wow, if those have to be the proof that I'm saved, do I really know that I've ever been good enough? Do I really know that I ever could be? And yet Jesus says, no. That's not what saves you. You're not saved by your deeds. You're saved by my promise. That when I said, my body given for you, my blood shed for you, that I really meant it. Jesus says, when I said you are forgiven, it really is true, and it is a gift that you do not have to earn and you never can deserve. And so what about what we do? Jesus says, let others see your good deeds so that they may glorify your Father in heaven. When God's people live in obedience and holiness and in the power of the Holy Spirit, it points a world that is in desperate need of God's love and grace and salvation towards Christ. Our good deeds point people towards the only true source of God's love and salvation. Luther described it as one beggar telling another where to find bread. You see, this world that we live in, it does not need Christians who are just like a needle in a haystack. It doesn't need Christians that are kind of different, but mostly just blend in. This world needs Holy Spirit-filled Christians and Spirit-filled churches who are less like a needle in a haystack and more like a matchstick in a haystack. Christians whose lives don't blend in, but whose lives stand out and make a difference. Whose lives point others like a light in the darkness to the one true God. This world needs Christians who desire to do God's will. That's what it means to be blessed, to be a blessing. That when we faithfully live in line and pursuing God's will and His word, it brings Him glory and honor, and it blesses the world around us. Let's take an obvious example. St. Tim's. Would you be more blessed by your pastors and our ministry if we were faithful to God's word, if we preached it faithfully, if we sought out God's will, or if we neglected it for the sake of our own selfishness and sin? Which way would you be more blessed? It's a dumb question, isn't it? The answer is obvious. Let's try a few more, though. You husbands, wouldn't your wives be more blessed if you were obedient to the will of God? Or you fathers, wouldn't your kids be more blessed if you delighted in His will and walked in His ways? It's the same for you wives and mothers as well. For you families, your neighborhoods, the people around you, the kids who go to the schools your kids go to, the parents who bring them there, would all be more blessed if God's people were less needle in a haystack and more matchstick. You grandparents, I hope you know that your kids and your grandkids are blessed by your faithful prayers for them. Sometimes, especially when they seem to walk away from faith and you feel like my prayers are the only thing I've got, I want you to know that those prayers are not nothing. They are seen and heard and treasured by your Heavenly Father, and they are a blessing to your families, whether you feel like it or not. Our friends, they're blessed when we faithfully respond to God's will and calling in our lives. Your neighbors, they're blessed when you respond in faith to the call of Jesus to love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, maybe you can think of some of the people in your lives whose lives and words were a blessing to you, the people who shared the gospel with you. You know, how many of you have been blessed by people sharing the gospel with you over the course of your life? You know, I have. And many of those people who have done that for me are here today. There are also many who have gone on into his kingdom, into heaven. People that I'm looking forward to saying thank you to one day. But do you know what? Something, you know, when we're all in heaven, when we're together in the presence of God, with one another and the rest of the church, you know what's something I'm pretty sure none of us will be saying? You know, I'm really grateful for all the people who didn't share the gospel with me. Man, you know. Pastor Dan, I wish you hadn't faithfully preached the gospel all those years. To those Sunday school teachers that were faithful week in and week out. You know, Tim or Mrs. Stake or Karen, I wish you hadn't faithfully shared the gospel with me. That's something none of us will say. And so why is it that in this life, we who have been so blessed often feel that pull within us, not to share it with others? Church, do not fear, because you have a King who goes before you into this world. You have a King who on the cross and the empty tomb has fought and won your battles. And so you can go with boldness into your life, shining like a light in the darkness, glorifying God and pointing others to the place where you have found hope and life and salvation. Church, people of God, Romans 8 says that all of creation is in eager anticipation for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. This world is in desperate need of Christians who delight in God's will and walk in his ways, who are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill, whose light and good deeds shine before others so that all will be blessed, so that all will see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven. St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, we are the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and perhaps the salt of San Jose, of our families, our neighborhoods, our schools and workplaces, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. So by the grace of God, may we shine our light before others, so that they may see our good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven, that they may see that they are loved and invited into that same relationship with Christ that has so richly blessed us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your Holy Spirit work boldness in our hearts and lives. May we go out from this place when we do today in the confidence that our Lord and our King has conquered sin and death and the grave on our behalf and given that to us, not only as a free gift to us, but as a gift and good news that we can share with the world through the way we live, the way we speak, the way we treat others, the way that we tell them where we found bread. Lord, may we be a light, salt, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden to your glory. Amen. Please stand.